It's October 28th. It's about 10 minutes after 11 in the morning. I've been thinking about, without rereading the notes, I know that I was told that the most important thing to do is to sort of project myself to understand or to visualize. Really, that's what it's about. It's to visualize what my future practice will look like. And by doing that, I can identify the conditions that I'm going to need to satisfy to make that happen. So that's what I've been kind of focusing on this morning. And I had been drawing from the example of Hogwarts, Harry Potter series, because a lot of the material that I'm going to be sharing with others is somewhat similar to the practice of magic that was depicted in the series, Harry Potter series. Much more, in my opinion, from my view, much more practical in application. I mean, of course, I'm trying to, at the same time that I see a parallel in abstract, in how can I, in concept, very different in that one is fantasy and the other is for practical application. In fact, I've said that the value that's inherent in this discipline in the master's craft, it's inherent not in knowing. Knowing, being aware, possessing knowledge is of potential value. The only true and actual value is an application, and that's where, I guess, in my terms, part and parcel with the part and parcel with the master's craft is is engaging in your practice of it. So, in other words, I guess let me make sure I get this clear enough. You can be aware of the master's craft, you can be aware of some of the concepts of the master's craft, you can even be aware of some of the potential value of engaging in the practice of the master's craft. However, if you're not actively practicing the principles, enduring and endearing principles and practices of the craft, then you will experience that the individual, that specific particular individual, will not experience any actual value in their quality of life and in the quality of experiences that they radiate into the world around them. So, with that said, I was just kind of looking at the story that was presented by the author of the Harry Potter series, and the fact that they attended a brick and mortar institution, a school, and of course the many characters and the conflicts that were a part of her many stories and many plots of, or various plots of those numerous stories. But for me, the first thing I wanted to, the first thing that occurred to me that I need to distinguish between me using her as her inspiration of the Harry Potter series. The first thing I wanted to distinguish was I'm not looking in any way to found a brick and mortar school. My specific goal, my project, and therefore my projection into the future is about a school of thought. And that resides in the embodiment of these principles and practices through an individual practice in the participants who engage in this quest and who embody and incorporate these principles and practices. They do not reside in a brick and mortar school. So another thing it just occurred to me was the thing I guess I want to mention at this point is I've talked about a constellation of concepts. And what I mean by that is if someone invokes the, what's the word I'm looking for there? If they invoke the token friend with that one word, there can be many connections. In fact, I looked up a transitive, the definition of transitive verb today, and it talked about a direct object, but what it went on to state was that if A relates directly to B, and in that relation there is something that can be said to be true, and if B relates to C, and there is something that through that relation can be said to be true, then that same connection of truth is somehow related between A and C in their relationship between A and B and B and C. And when I read that, although at that moment I didn't quite connect it to my constellation of concepts, I realize now that I think that's really what transitive sort of depicts or points to, that if it can be carried from A to B and then from B to C, it can also be carried directly from A to C. There is a direct relationship, at least at some level. And so when I talk about the constellation of concepts and I talk about a token or a sign or indicator like the word friend, what I'm saying there is, depending upon an individual's definition, and really what I really mean by that is depending upon their standards of friend, there's certain things, there are certain characteristics and attributes that could be assumed about that individual. Usually it's someone that they're somewhat intimate with at a spiritual, emotional level. It's someone that can be trusted. It's someone that is loyal. It's someone who, what's the word I'm looking for there? It's someone that will make a stand that is available, meaning if they need a favor to be done. I mean, how can I say, if they're in times of need, there's someone that they can call upon. That's what I'm really trying to get to, and that they can be counted on to stand up, to muster out. And now, of course, you know, with that said, there's always there could be circumstances that would prevent them from doing that in a specific instance or in a certain set of circumstances. But generally speaking, if they're called upon, they respond. They're responsive. So what I'm trying to say in this is that in the Harry Potter series, although there are dissimilarities in my approach, hers in fantasy and fiction, and mine in practical application, there are some things that are that there's commonality. And one of those things is, in her stories, she did spotlight and therefore the plot of the story revolved around these principles and practices, these enduring and endearing principles and practices. I don't, you know, Harry, and I can't remember some of the names of the other what's the word I'm looking for, the not the bit part players, but those who played a central role. There were many examples of loyalty and trustworthiness and many other things. Now, are we fallible as human beings and do we make mistakes? Absolutely. And I think in that light, it really comes down to intent. And even then, someone can have a moment of weakness or a moment, you know, then that weakness might be by temptation, or it could be a weakness that comes out of fear or loathing. I don't know if loathing is the right word. It's, you know, fear. Basically, it's fear. They're afraid, and so they have that moment of weakness. Maybe loathing is the, you know, because it's loathing of a possible consequence. And in that moment of weakness, there could be a moment of betrayal. That comes back to the strength of the friendship. And it comes back to forgiveness. But as I said, there are, in these stories, it's why they really connect with people, why people connect with the characters in the story and with the storyline. Because although it's a piece of fiction, and although it's fantasy, enveloped within the characters and the plot, there are real principles and practices in play. And by people reading these stories or watching the movies that are developed as a screenplay from the written works, there are life's lessons to be learned. It's about successful recipes. It's about the ingredients, the elements that go into and make up the principles and practices, the principles and priorities that our lives revolve around, and through which we project the recurring patterns of our daily routines. So again, in some respects, I see a lot more in common with those types of with that kind, I should say, with that kind of works, then I see that there are dissimilarities. Again, with it being fantasy or fiction, of course, that is a major difference. And also to distinguish between a brick-and-mortar school, I think it was called Hogwarts, and my school of thought, you know, the way I wish to present this. I mean, and from that light, all the world's a stage. What I mean is the entire universe is our school. It is, if you want to name it, you know, in that way, it is our brick and mortar school, you know, existence. So anyway, just to summarize, what it really comes down to is my approach in naming this as my interest. You know, I'm an author of a school of thought. And in my model, what I'm really saying by that, what I'm really, I guess, staking a claim to, and I'm, you know, I'm making a stand and I'm pointing to it, is I'm but one contributor in a chain of custody. And I have in my notes somewhere, there are original works, original works, derivative works, and there's another one. It basically means works of explanation. That goes back to Malcolm Gladwell and how, you know, you can take the same concept or the same idea, and it passes from person to person. And a person will take that concept and they will recraft the way that the concept is presented. And for some recipients, for some listeners, for some audiences, that recrafting of the message will be so much more clear and concise to their ears, to their way of connecting with the concept than the original concept was in its original form. So derivative and interpretive, those were the three that I had identified: original works, derivative works, and interpretive works. So myself, as a link in this chain of custody, the point that I'm leading to there is we inherit so much. And in the beginning of the process, when we become first awakened through excitation of this knowledge, understanding, and wisdom, in the beginning, we work in the craft. We're learning the fundamentals of the craft. We're learning the foundational principles, and as we progress, principles and practices of the craft. And then at some point, and of course in my modeling, that point is where we pass from journeyman to master. We master the structure of the craft. And at that point, the master at the highest levels of exaltation. Okay, well, let me back up one. So the master, when they have mastered the structure of the craft, they are then qualified to initiate others into the craft and to supervise, I'm going to say guide them, that would be a better word, to guide them during their early works during their apprenticeship in the craft. But there is a further level of exaltation that proceeds from the level of the master, and that's what I call the wizard. And I have related that to an acronym, ACE, which stands for Avatar, Champion, and Exemplar. But what it really relates to, and it's encapsulated in the label, the token, or sign, an indicator that I've chosen to depict it, wizard stands for wise. And so what I'm trying to approach there is this threshold where the master is still working in the craft, but they went beyond just working in the craft, and they're now working on the craft. And what I mean by that is, it's not just a case of the chain of custody of the craft and the knowledge, understanding, and wisdom from person to person, generation to generation, era to era. It's also embodies. It's also includes them working on the craft. In other words, at that level, they're afforded the opportunity to further the craft, itself. They're adding to the craft. It's not just that they're in the chain of custody to ensure the presence of the knowledge, understanding, and wisdom of the craft through each generation. They're actually adding to the body and soul and impact of the craft. And of course, I hope that I have reached that level, or am reaching that level, where I am adding to the craft. That has been my purpose, without me even knowing how to state it, probably for decades. But even in the beginning, before I even knew how to state it, when I began to realize that I wished to disseminate and share, it was even more so both my responsibility, well, I should say both my privilege and responsibility to share what has been shared with me, to pay it forward, so to speak. So even then, there's that level of when you're qualified to even engage at that level. And was I there then? Probably not, but possibly, because I've been working on this so long. And who knows when I actually began to add to the craft and not just become, my works were becoming aware of what had been passed to this generation, to the current cast of characters. So, irregardless of that, it's not about, I'm not sounding egotistical in that. It's not about that. We are temporal beings. And to me, it's about my legacy. It's about what I've passed on to others, just like it has been passed on to me. For me to take the stance of ego, that negates all of the contributions of all of the masters who have existed before me and during my lifetime. And there's been many, you know, some that were very close to me and some that were related to me, but there were many others that have contributed. Authors I've read that many of them, or at least some of them, passed long before I was ever born. It doesn't matter. What matters is they connected to me and I connected to them. They inspired me, and I hope to pass that on to others, both in the present, and I hope I've done some of that in the past and in the present and into the future. So anyway, I think that pretty much covers where I'm at right now. Again, it's about the school of thought, and it comes down to how I'm going to effectively disseminate the information and make it and package it in such a way that it will spark an interest in others, at least to the level that they'll entertain it. It still comes down to a choice on their part. A discernment, really, is what it comes down to on their part as to whether or not they comprehend and understand the value or the potential value of what is offered. Is this offered only by me? Absolutely not. I'm just one of many different threads, how else can I say that, in this weave of being able to become exposed to and become aware of the potential value of this chosen discipline. So anyway, I think that's about all I wanted to get down in this set of notes. Signing off.